ان الحمد لله والصلاه والسلام على اشرف الانبياء محمد رسول الله صلى الله عليه واله وصحبه وسلم من ولا بعد. In the last of our series on what does it mean to take from the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the last two or three days we have been talking about the final part of it, which is the key to the treasures of Allah, which is dua. And today I want to close and end this particular series with this beautiful hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. As I mentioned to you, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made dua the key to his treasures. And as I said yesterday, Allah did not put any conditions on this dua. He did not put any conditions on our state when we make this dua. He didn't put any preconditions to the acceptance of dua. And he did not say what duas we should make and what we are not permitted to make. Right? Obviously, all of this is within the purview of reason and good sense. But as long as we make dua for any of our needs, inshallah musta'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we are doing something which is worship in itself, which is ibadah in itself, and for which we will be rewarded. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala listens to that dua, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised to accept that dua and to give us the return for this dua. Now, having said that, obvious question I'm sure in your minds is the question that you might say, well, what you are saying is alhamdulillah good, but this is not our life experience. In our life, we find that we make dua and some duas are accepted. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something and He gives it to us. Some things we might get immediately, some things we might get a bit later, but we get them. But also, every single one of us has the experience of having asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, of having made dua very, very sincerely, very dedicatedly, very sincerely. We begged and pleaded with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something, but Allah didn't give it to us. Now, the Sahaba had the same experience. And the Sahaba asked Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam about this. And they said, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, you say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts all du'as, but this is our experience. So they are not challenging what Allah has said, they are not denying that. But they are saying that our experience is different. Because we find that some du'as are accepted, meaning we get what we ask for, while other du'as are not accepted, meaning that we ask for something but we don't get it. Rasulullah ﷺ answered this question. Now, I remind myself and you that ahadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, all the sahih ahadith of Rasulullah ﷺ, are in effect wahi from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These are answers that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taught him to give the people who asked him these questions. So this is not the opinion of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself, but it is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told him to say to the people. And that is why we call these ahadith wahi ghair matlu, wahi revelation that is not recited. And in that sense it is different from the Quran, but it's also revelation. There were two revelations, one which is in the Quran and the other one which is the explanation of the Quran and all the teachings of the how and the methodology of what the Quran ordered, which is also wahi. The best example for this is the issue of Salah, where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decreed and ordered us and said Aqimus Salah, establish Salah. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not tell us the method of Salah anywhere in the Quran. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, however, taught Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam through wahi ghair matlu, through wahi which is not recited, how salah is to be established, how it is to be performed, and Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam did that. And he taught the people. So therefore, if somebody says that only aqimus salah, these two words are wahi, and how this is to be done is not wahi, then that is absolute nonsense. Because if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is going to give an instruction, if He is going to give an order, then He also has to tell us how this order is to be implemented. Because obviously this order is not, Allah didn't say, worship me in any way that you feel like worshipping me. In which case we could have said this, that really there is no need for an explanation. Because Allah has said, worship me any way you think, which is any way you think
is the way to worship me. But Allah did not say that. Allah said, Aqimus Salah, establish the Salah. And what is the Salah? Obviously, Salah is some particular thing which is to be established. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala therefore taught us how this is to be done through wahi ghair matlu, through revelation which was sent to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for him to teach the people. So now, this is the beauty of the Quran al-Kareem. And this is what we have been given and taught. So I submit to you, my brothers and sisters, that they asked Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam this question. They said, Ya Rasulullah, we find that we make dua and some duas are not accepted. So what of that? Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam answered this in a very beautiful way. He said, there are three kinds of ways in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts dua. So the first thing we understand from this is that Allah does not reject dua. Allah accepts all duas. But he accepts them in three different ways. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the first way is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you what you ask him for. So that's the first way of accepting dua. You ask something from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to you. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the second way in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts dua is that you make dua Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give you that thing. But it so happens that in your qadr, in the, your destiny, at that time there is some calamity, there is some accident, there is some loss that is to befall you. Now, because you made this dua, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala averts that calamity and that accident and that loss in exchange for this dua. So I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for a job, I don't get that particular job. But instead of that, I was destined to become one with the front fender of a 16-wheeler, but that didn't happen. So the 16-wheeler had a flat tire and it stopped. So I went past and nothing happened to me. So this calamity which was to befall me didn't happen to me. But in exchange for that, I didn't get my job. I got some other job later on. So that's a different issue. So I asked for a dua, I didn't get that dua, but instead of the dua, a calamity that was to befall me didn't befall me. Now obviously I don't know this at this time. So when I'm looking at it, I'm saying, well, I asked for this and I didn't get it. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam said there is a third kind of dua. And he said this dua is that you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala does not give you that thing. And also at that time in your life, in your destiny, there is no calamity that has been written for you. So now this dua is there. Rasulullah said, when you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show you all these three things. One is he will show you the duas that you asked him and which he gave you. Alhamdulillah. And then he said he will show you those calamities that were averted because of the duas that you made. Now, Alhamdulillah, thumma Alhamdulillah. How can we thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for something? Because obviously, if I was shown the calamity, I would have chosen exactly the same thing. If I was shown, because I've said, either you get this job or you come under a truck. Well, if I come under the truck, then what's the good of the job anyway? You know what I'm saying. So the point is that even if we had to choose, we would have probably chosen the same thing. Anyone with any good sense would say, well, I don't want this calamity. Whatever I asked for can wait, or I can do without that. But this calamity, I definitely don't want. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will show us, insha'Allah, those calamities that were averted because of the du'as that we made. And then Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, the third du'a, which you asked Allah for something, he did not give it to you, and at that time there was no calamity to be averted. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, these du'as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to you on the day of judgment, O my slave, you asked me for this thing, I did not give it to you, and at that time there was no calamity that was to be averted, so I did not do that. Now this dua is with me now, today, on this day of judgment. Ask me what you want and I will give it to you. Having said this, Rasulullah ﷺ added, and he said that if you could only realize the value of that. What is the value? The value of making dua and not getting something in this world. He said, if you could realize the value of this dua, where you asked Allah for something, and He, Jalla Jalaluhu, didn't give it, and on the day of judgment, this dua is waiting for you, and Allah will grant you whatever you want. He said, if you understand the value of this, you will wish that every single day of your life, you make dua which is not accepted.
Subhanallah, think about that. Whatever, because the reality of life is, whatever it is that we ask in this world, in any case, is temporary. Whatever it might be, right? Oh Allah, make me king of the world. For how long? As long as I am alive, or as long as I am allowed to be in that seat before somebody poisons me or stabs me in the back or whatever. The point is that no matter what I ask for, whether it is money, whether it is influence, whether it is power, whether it is a wife or a husband or children or whatever it is, to be loved by all the people, Facebook hits or what you want to call it, anything I ask for is temporary. Whereas the dua that will be with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala waiting for me, and insha'Allah al-musta'an, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will say to you, ask what you want and I will give you on the day of judgment, that is permanent. Oh Allah, give me Jannatul Firdausul Ala bi ghairi hisab. Oh Allah, forgive me, forgive my parents. Oh Allah, forgive all these friends, beautiful friends of mine that you have given me. Many of them I know, many of them I don't know. There are hundreds, Allah knows how many, who listen to these Fajr reminders. Oh Allah, forgive all those who listen to the Fajr reminders. Oh Allah, forgive all those who do not listen to the Fajr reminders. Ya Rabbal Alameen, forgive everybody, Ya Rabbal Alameen. Forgive all Muslims, fill their khubur with noor. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant them Jannatul Firdausul Ala bi ghairi hisab. Whoever they may be, wherever they may be. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this on the day of judgment, and Allah will give it, because Allah said, ask me now, I will give you. He didn't say ask me only this. Ask you, ask me whatever you want, I will give you, because I can do whatever I want. This is the reality of dua, my brothers and sisters. So every dua that you make is ibadah. You are going to get rewards, inshallah al-musta'an, with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just for making the dua, number one. Number two, some things which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows are good for you, Allah will give you in this world. Some other things which Allah knows are not good for you, Allah will not give you in this world, but He will either eliminate calamities from your life, or He will keep those du'as with Him, Jalla Jalaluhu, and on the day of judgment, those du'as will be given to you to ask whatever you want on that day. Ajib, I tell you, I have lived long enough to know also, and to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the bottom of my heart for not granting me some things that I asked Him for. Right? Don't look at me expectantly. I'm not going to tell you. The point is that there are, and I'm not wrong, I didn't ask Allah for anything haram. I asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for halal things. But things which I really and truly wanted, and I begged and pleaded Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and halal things, but Allah did not give me. But today, when I look back in my life and I say, Alhamdulillah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala did not give me that thing, because I know today if I had that thing, how much of trouble that would have been for me. And I said, Alhamdulillah, 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 my Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu knows what is good for me, and I am content to stay with that knowledge and say, let my Rabb run my life. That is the best way to run my life, because let Him run my life, because then He cannot ask me, why did you do this or that? Because I say, Ya Allah, You run my life. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala Jalla Jalaluhu, we hand over ourselves, ufawwidu amri illallah, inna allaha basirun bil ibad, hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakil, ni'mal mawla wa ni'mal nasir. We give up our lives in the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ask Him to run our lives for us. We ask Him that, and we tell Him that He is the best helper, He is the best supporter, He is the best mawla and the best wakil for us. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept all your du'as and to enable you to make du'as which will bring you closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. As I mentioned earlier, du'a is the ta'alluq with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If the du'a is what connects us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So let us open our hearts to our Rabb Jalla Jalaluhu and make lots and lots of du'a. Precede the du'a and follow the du'a with durood on Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, to whom we owe this beautiful deen, to whom we owe these beautiful explanations of the Quran, and to whom we owe the Quran itself, because we heard it from his voice, we heard it from his tongue, sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Wa subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun, wa salamun al mursaleen, wa alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen.